All right. 1 Samuel 29, instruction in righteousness, strengthened by grace. Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. The lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. The princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me." But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him, and do not let him go down with us to the battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" Now, I'm going to introduce tonight the things that are here, but also this part of strengthened by grace. Find your way to 2 Timothy 2:1. And as you're finding your way there, how did David get out of this, right? He is conscripted as a servant deceitfully to the king, and they're going to battle in warfare. And how does he get out of this? He has not been doing things well, okay? He has not been living a good Christian life, if I may reach all of us tonight. We at any given point in time, we come to something like this, and how does he get out of it? Well, 2 Timothy 2:1, I'll get there. You guys are there already. Now, it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Some versions say to be strengthened by grace. We could be carried about by any various sorts of doctrines, right? This is Hebrews 13. Keep your finger in 2 Timothy 2:1. I'm going to be right back with you. This is Hebrews 13:9. "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace." Some versions say strengthened by grace. Now, I'm going to offer up to us tonight, again, I believe something that becomes, if you will, the key, right, between falling like Saul or standing like David. Tonight, Saul falls, right? We're going to get to chapter 31. Saul falls. King anointed, Holy Spirit upon him. And we saw his disobedience. We saw the Holy Spirit depart him. And tonight, we're going to read that Saul falls. Now, again, I'm going to put a seed there for you. Falls short of the grace of God. Okay? Yet David stands. And I'm watching David's life, and I'm looking at David's life, and he escaped to the enemy of the Philistines, and now we find him, right, heading to battle against his own people, and yet God gets him out of this. The only explanation I can have for you is by the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is available for some Christians or for all Christians. Now, there's a very clear understanding that I offer up tonight, and if I would describe unto you, and I did go and pull this up, you want to understand Calvary Chapel, it's the grace of God. Pastor Chuck wrote a book, Why Grace Changes Everything. In fact, the last cover had a key with grace going into the lock to really unlock the Christian life. Like, so I'm going to put this forth in this way, okay? Saul and David had the exact same opportunity, same calling, same Holy Spirit upon them. Saul and David had the exact same scriptures. Again, think about it. When David becomes king, he'll need to copy the law, and just like Saul did, had the Word of God. And I'm going to offer this up to us in 2 Timothy 2:1, right? This is the verse. And it is written in the passive, right? The passive nature, meaning this is commanded to you, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When I mean passive, it's like this isn't you strengthen, like you're the one who has the grace, and then you do it. It's quite the opposite. There's only one relationship here to be strong in grace, and that's by receiving. And why is it that one seems to receive the grace of God and abounds, and then another falls? Okay? Now, as we look at this contrast between the two, David gets out of this. Achish calls David in verse 6 and says to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright. You're going out and you're coming in with me, and the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you." Yeah. He hasn't been doing what Achish thinks he's doing, right? How does he get out of this? Now, I'm just going to offer this up to you. Have you ever found yourself as a Christian in a spot like, I can't believe I did that. Why did I do that? And how am I ever going to get out of this? Now, before I was walking with the Lord, backslidden, right? I had ways of then praying, Lord, I promise I'll go to church if you'll get me out of this one. I'll start reading my Bible, and we would negotiate. But I'm talking about in church, right, walking with the Lord, and you find yourself in the enemy's camp, like David does, and you find yourself like on the wrong side. How does he get out of this? "Therefore, return now, go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." So David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said he shall not go up with us to battle. Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now, in this introduction, right, and I'm gonna go to a couple places, find Ephesians 3:16. So with the title Strengthened by Grace, right, don't be carried about by various and strange doctrines. Let your heart be established by the grace of God. What am I saying to you tonight? This is not your performance-based Christianity. Okay? So you do need to give all diligence to add to your faith, virtue, love, brotherly kindness, right? If those things are in you and abound, Peter says, that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. But who really has always done 2 Peter chapter 1 so perfectly? He said, there's my diligence. Arr, right? Now, I'm offering up to you. You want to understand this. You want to understand what this is. By the grace of God, I've been able to do that. I never used to do that, or I used to do part of it, and by the grace of God, now I do the scriptures. I mean, I'm going to illustrate this to you when you think of this. Again, here's 3:16. It's a prayer of Paul. He says that God, he, right, that he's bowing his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, is that you? You're a child of God, you're named after Christ Jesus. And look at 3, this is Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now get this again, just a statement of fact that he gives strength. Now, get this, why are some Christians seemingly strong and mighty within, and others seem to fall short? It's not confounding to me. I know the answer, but what am I offering to us tonight? I'm offering to us the key to not fall like Saul, because Saul falls. Tragedy, right? Again, if you take 1 Samuel, right, 31. Also recorded in 1 Chronicles 10, Saul falls. Tragedy. How many pastors, how many Christians, how many people in your life that you could say they fell? Their name isn't Saul, so it doesn't rhyme. Saul falls, but you have the same visible, like, man, they fell. And what's the difference between Saul falls, David stands? Because I'm just offering this to us in this context. And I'm telling you the answer is the grace of God. So how do I get into this place in relationship with God where I can receive His grace and let the commands that are given unto me, here's an example, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do I get that to come to me? Because it seems like the pastor's doing pretty well in church, right? It seems like the elder's doing pretty well in church. It seems like the deacons are serving well, but I'm not doing that well. Yeah, is everybody like kind of reaching us, right? Now, and I'm aware that I'm interactive when I'm saying this to you, and I'm appealing to you in an interactive way because I'm trying to invoke in you. We should all be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Do you know that Ephesians 3:16, written to the church at Ephesus, is written to you individually, right? And so if it's written in such a way here, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, then why do some fall, or why are some weakened? And now I'd say, well, I want to, instead of like, why, I want to learn from those that fell, the tragedy, and I want to go that way. And by the grace of God, I want to be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man. Why there? Because that's where you can resist, and it's there where you can withstand. Because chapter 30, that's why. Because of chapter 30, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag, back home. On the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, burned it with fire, had taken captive the women, those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone. So there in your margin, verse 2, 1 Samuel 30, verse 2, just write, mercy of God. What was David's practice when he was plundering? He was not allowing a soul to live. If you believed in karma, what would karma say? Everybody there should have been killed. That's why karma's garbage, right? It's this presence of the living God, this Spirit of God dwelling within His children. Why is it that some children seem to be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man, and others seem to be feeble and weak? Well, I'm going to introduce this to you today. Everyone starts out feeble and weak. See, and this is where this grace of God comes into this interaction. You're going to see David in his weakness. You're going to see his weakness here real soon. But yet he receives strength by the grace of God, and he's able to deliver those who have been taken captive by the enemy. Now you're starting to listen why Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Is he talking about Timothy himself? Timothy, so you can have a great life and you can be a trophy on the shelf in God's showroom. Quite the opposite. He's putting Timothy into his calling and exhorting him, encouraging him, so that Timothy can be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man, and he can receive grace, and he can go forth and set those who are captive free. Now, who's on the urgent prayer team, right? Again, I've been talking with you. Well, tonight's the night you need to urgently pray for the needs that are here tonight. And I know this as we're preparing for worship, and I just begin to pray. There's urgent needs that are in the room tonight. You hear that? So when we're done with this study, we're going to go right into prayer. And again, those of you on that urgent prayer team, be Spirit-led and listen to the Holy Spirit and find the needs in the room and go and pray for them. Okay? I'll work with you, right? I'll actually announce it so that whoever has needs. Okay? Because I believe that tonight is about receiving that strength, okay, right, by might through the Spirit in the inner man. And I'm already thinking tonight, where's the power of God to heal? Okay? So urgent prayer team, where's the power of God to give and deliver and set captives free? Okay, I'm ahead of myself a little bit. So David and his men came to the city. There it was, burned with fire, their wives, their sons, and their daughters been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, this is where 3 days of marching to get back home, thinking I'm going to be coming home to rest, food, only to find everything's gone. Okay? And in that verse 4, these are the deep needs, right? Power to weep. They can't even cry anymore. David's two wives are gone. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, have been taken captive. Have you caught this phrase? Taken captive. Taken captive. Taken captive. You do realize where we are as a church, that all around us there are people who are taken captive by the enemy. Christians who have been taken captive by the enemy to do his will. All around us. Now, we can either pretend the scriptures really don't say anything to us about delivering those who are taken captive, and therefore just think of ourselves to have a good Christian life and be placed on the shelf in the trophy room of God and say, wow, what a wonderful Christian life you have put together. Or you can get to the work. Now, we've been called to the work, right? And the enemy's trying to weaken our hands as the work gets started. You hear that? Any number of things that I know that have come today, and some didn't even make it tonight because of what happened today. You hear that? See, and then you're here, and then you're coming to a Bible study, and well, it's just another night, and you have Bible, and okay. And then the Holy Spirit gets your attention, and it comes to this. Okay? God strengthens weak hands. Bottom line. Okay? So when you're weak, poor in spirit, okay, David all of a sudden finds himself, he was in the enemy's camp only to come home thinking it's going to be one way, and they were marching 3 days, and all of a sudden, everyone that they love is gone. Okay? Their families. Now, David was greatly distressed. Now, we could overemphasize, underemphasize, but receive this. Again, this is an equivalent to the depth, right, of any trial, and we're going to look at one on Sunday with the Apostle Paul when we go through 2 Corinthians 12 of the thorn in the flesh. You have an equivalency going on here. David is distressed. He's in straits. He's squeezed. He's in trouble. Okay. The people spoke of stoning him. That David led us there, got into this. I don't know what he was thinking to be in the army of the Philistines. Again, I don't know what he was thinking. We go away and we come back home and my wife and children are gone. If it wasn't for David, and this is amongst this camp, they're talking about stoning him. Okay? Now, I remind you, how many psalms did David write in the last 16 months while hiding out in the enemy's territory and going around as a raider and plundering? How many psalms has he written? Zero. Okay? Now, if you didn't know any better, right, hadn't read ahead, didn't know the rest of the Bible, you'd say, it should sound something like this. David falls, Saul falls. Right? But it doesn't read that way. Why is it that you can study the tragedy of one in ministry who, and you can even learn why this tragedy came into their life and they fell? And then you can read of the testing, the trying, and Satan's plan to destroy a life and just designed to kill this man. And yet, by the grace of God, he does not fall but stands. And then just insert there, Christian woman, Christian man. You know, how can your marriage endure through what you've done to each other? Why is one Christian marriage fallen and the exact same thing happens in the relationship with the other Christian marriage and it stands. I only have one answer for you: by the grace of God. So if that's the truth, then how do we as a people get onto grace, right? Where we relate to God in such a way where by the grace of God, we humble ourselves and we receive what he gives us. We're going to read it. We're going to pray it. All I have to offer up to you here is David gets onto the grace of God. The people, he's greatly distressed, right? People talk of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And then this last phrase in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, I'm just going to offer up to you, David is greatly distressed. He can't cry anymore. He too has lost everything, and they're threatening to kill him. He has no source of strength in himself. Do you hear that? Okay. Offering this up. You are not the source of love. You are not the source of peace. You are not the source of strength. Okay. Do you hear that? You are not great. Okay. The people who stand up in front of people and claim their greatness, they're not great. Okay. Now, we take this up, and my thought here for us, this is the key. David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You could do a whole sermon on David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, and you could just emphasize each word in the sentence. But this is the equivalence of be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Don't be carried about various and strange doctrines, right? The heart should be strengthened by grace. Right? How is it that this truth, that some rise up and stand and fight, and the other rolls over into the fetal position, sucking their thumb spiritually and crying for how their situation is? How can that be? Right? Now, in this contrast that I believe the Holy Spirit's offering up for us tonight, find your way to Ephesians 6, okay? And here in Ephesians 6, and it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, if you read ahead, what I say to you next is going to, I'm going to foreshadow where I'm going for you, right? So as you're finding your way to Ephesians 6, okay, Ephesians 6 is what passage of Scripture, right? It's the armor, okay? Listen to this. We end up tonight with Saul's armor being before the false gods of the enemy. It's a statement, right? See, why is it that some Christians are taken captive by the enemy to do his will? How is it that each Christian who has been instructed, right? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You catch the tone tonight? David strengthened himself in the Lord. Last time out, if you will, Jonathan came out to David in the wilderness, and Jonathan strengthened David in the Lord. Sometimes the pastor isn't there for you to call up and say, this is what I'm going through. Now, one of my friends, he's been just exhorting his people, the guys that he's been working with. He's said, at some point, you must learn how to self-disciple. What is he saying? He says, at some point, you, between you and God, you have got to be able to strengthen yourself in the Lord like David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. First and foremost, it's the Lord his God, and how would you do that? And so then I read this, Ephesians 6:10, if I only read it once. Now, I have a friend of mine who reads this every day, and that's how he puts on the armor of God, because he realizes he's in a battle. David strengthens himself in the Lord. Everything that he has is gone. The next verse he offers up, he says to Abiathar the priest, he says, bring the ephod to me here. Abiathar brought the ephod. David inquired of the Lord, verse 8. He seeks God. Okay. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, that's nice. I'm still going to go do whatever I was going to do today. Did you not get interrupted there? Did it not reach you that I need the armor because of what's coming today? I need the armor. And why is it that some could ignore that? Because I don't want my armor, right? I don't want my spiritual life ending up. I don't want the truth, the righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation, my faith, right? Sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation. I don't want my armor left, you know, hanging and on the wall and inside the enemy's, you know, false god camp. Christian, and you couldn't withstand the enemy. I don't know how that reaches you, but it reaches me. And not only am I in feeding the sheep, but I stand, right? I have a wife, right? Again, that spiritual head, that authority and that covering and that protection. And then I pastor a church, and then I'm starting another church and another and another. And this strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man, put the armor on. How? By the grace of God. I'm weak. I'm weak in the truth, you might say. I'm weak in the sharing of the gospel. Great candidate. How is it that you can see that, is David really doing great? And we'd absolutely say David is not doing great. In fact, you come to church sometimes and it seems like everybody's doing great because they're laughing, smiling. Well, Proverbs are true that even in laughter, the heart may be what? In sorrow. And you find out this distress and the people are grieved. And I just remind you, get alone with the Lord. Okay? You pull this up and you got Ephesians 3:16, you got Ephesians 6:10, and you sit there and by the grace of God, Lord, I receive the strength that you give me in my inner being and the might that is in you, and in weakness, I simply receive it by faith. Is it that simple? Well, if it isn't that way, then the grace of God is only available for the strong. It doesn't say grace to the strong in Christ Jesus. It says be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So hopefully I've thoroughly convinced you that you need the grace of God. And it's by God's grace that you think of the commands. And now let's look at the battle. David seeks God. He inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail and recover all. Now maybe your prayer life really stinks, if I can just be that blunt. Okay? And you're not actually praying to get anything done. You're just praying to feel good in what you're walking through. And you're all of your prayers are consumed upon how you feel. Okay? And I just offer this up. David's wives are captive. His men are grieved. Their families are gone. The enemy has come in, and the enemy is trying to destroy them all. Oh, and by the way, the enemy are the Amalekites that Saul said he killed all of them except the king. Did Saul actually kill all the Amalekites except the king? No. So you could even say, this is because Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do. How many of you are sitting around saying, if so-and-so would have done what they were supposed to do, I wouldn't be walking through this? Okay? And you start to listen to these things, and it becomes very real. And in this part, others need you to be able to pray and set them free. And most Christians don't even think or pray like this. What's that armor for? Is it just to, you know, for selfies? Christian armor for appearance sake? In fact, quite the opposite, because there's a battle. And this is David's battle. He's not in the warfare, but the battle found him, and it looked like he escapes the snare of the devil only to find out what? Oh no, this thing was planned to bring an end to David. Now, why do some fall and others stand? Well, you have your answer tonight? By the grace of God. key phrase, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Humbles himself, receives more grace, gets up, inquires. The answer is, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. David went, took 600 men who were with him, came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and the 400 men. 200 stayed behind. They were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Do you hear that? 3 days of marching, all, you know, again, if you use the phrase, just wept out, distressed, grieved. Now, does it get any harder to get up and take the next step? Now, if God is here and his strength strengthens, here he can strengthen you in your situation. There is power of God to heal. There is power of God to set those that you love free from the enemy's oppression. Do you hear that? There is power of God to change the course and direction of what others have meant for evil. You receive grace. There's power in this gospel when you go out. There's power in prayer. And I'm serious about this urgent prayer team. I'm calling us to, because I believe the Holy Spirit's doing this, and by the grace of God, get alone with God and be strengthened in that place alone with God. And I've read it, Ephesians 6:10, over and over. Be strengthened by might through the Spirit and the inner man. I memorize it. I can even treat it like a mantra. Satan loves mantra verse-quoting Christians because they're powerless. Because there's no grace with it. If you're just quoting a verse to Satan, he's already read the verse more than you. But if you that verse and God's word comes, and then God's word enters your heart, and by the grace of God, it's like, I receive that, and I'm going to receive that strength, and I'm going to wait upon God until I've been strengthened by might through the Spirit and the inner man, and I'm going to rise up and pray these prayers that need power and victory, and I'm going to ask God to the work, or in this case, to the battle. 200 are so weary, they stay behind. David pursued. They found an Egyptian in the field, brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and let him drink water. Gave him a piece of cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his strength came back to him. Did you hear that? You know what I know? You know what strengthens me when I'm distressed? Right? The Word of God. Not a mantra Word of God. I'm talking a Word of God received by grace into my heart. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But I haven't been living a great life. Yeah, I know. If you look at the baptism with the Holy Spirit, it's not dependent upon your great walk. Okay. This Egyptian, his strength came back to him, natural sense. He had eaten no bread nor drunk no water for 3 days and three nights. You don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you don't live filled with the Holy Spirit. What are you going to be in 3 days? I don't know, I haven't done that. I haven't put 3 days together for a long time that I didn't seek the Lord. David said to him, "To whom do you belong? Where are you from?" He said, "I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion in the southern area of the Cherethites, the territory that belongs to Judah, and the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." David said to him, "Now, you reckon, why did David find him? Is there a living God who hears your prayers and directs you? Is there a Holy Spirit who leads you to the person? Is there a Holy Spirit who leads you to the right scripture? Is there a Holy Spirit who is in you and will pray through you for the soul of another? Can you pray in the Spirit? Is there a power of God to deliver those who are captive? Why do some have this power and other Christians seem to be without that power?" David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" He said, "Swear to me by God, you'll neither kill me nor deliver me to the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop." David, setting free the captives, delivering those, right, from death. You catch the foreshadow here of the son of David who comes to set the captives free, comes to declare liberty, comes to bind up the brokenhearted. Where is the church so active in the ministry of Jesus? Because they're filled up with Jesus by the grace of God. I don't know any church that's ever accomplished this another way. By our great schooling, by our great education, by our rigorous training. Here's what I know. All of those things are necessary and good, but it still comes down to, right? By the grace of God, we received what he said to us. And by the grace of God, we did it. And the Holy Spirit did all these things. And when he had brought them down, verse 16, there they were spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because all the great spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Now those Amalekites are smart. They find out the Philistines are declaring war, and they just watch. All the cities are unprotected. What are they going to do? See, and you look at this. The enemy's smart. The enemy watches. The enemy waits. The enemy sees, got this? When you're going to get up and go serve the Lord. Yeah, our family's going to go, and we're going to be involved in this church plant. Our family's going to go and serve an outreach. What is the enemy who's smart and watching? What's he doing? Just waiting to come in and somehow to weaken your hands so you won't continue the work. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9. Right? Is that the verse? You shared it with me earlier today. I told you you need to have it ready to share. Nehemiah 6, 9. What's it say?
For they all made us afraid, saying, "Their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands."
All right. Nobody online heard that verse. I'll read it. So take this to heart tonight. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. I still think Peter and Jeanette should have had more kids and named them. You had room for three more, and then the last one named Job, and then, what'd you name me Job for? Should have married her earlier. What's that?
I think it's old.
That's true. Legal age to marry. Yeah, very good. Okay. Who said serving God wasn't fun? Okay, everybody back with me now? So the enemy makes them afraid in Nehemiah's day. They're working hard, they're weary. Okay? You're serving God. I don't know how many days this month you have said that if you calculate it, I'm either in church, in a prayer meeting, in Afterglow, or I'm doing outreach. I don't know if you've calculated it. And then along comes this, and then maybe it's those, maybe it's yourself, maybe it's one close to you. Are we really going to go again tonight? Do you hear that? So this is how this works. And I'm not trying to make the pace like this. David wasn't trying to make the pace like that. Okay, here it is. Nehemiah 6:9. "For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands.'" Hebrews, right, says to strengthen the knees that are feeble and the hands that hang down. Are you skipping the part where you get alone with the Lord and you receive his grace to put the armor on and to be strengthened by might through his spirit in the inner man? Or are you just getting up in the morning and just going on your way? Or do you take the time to read ahead and come prepared? And the key is the grace of God. The key is not these other things. So the enemy tries to destroy, tries to weaken. Okay, they brought him down. David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except the 400 men who rode on camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small nor great, sons nor daughters, spoil or anything which had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds that had driven before these other livestock and said, "This is David's spoil." David came to the 200 men and been so weary they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay by the brook Besor. So David went out to meet. They went out to meet David and meet the people who were with him, and David came near the people and he greeted them. Then the wicked and worthless men, sons of Belial, those who went with David, answered and said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart." Do you hear that? You were too weak and too weary to continue. You're not fighting quality. Do you really believe that God chose the weak things of the world to confound the strong? Do you believe that he put the Apostle Paul into such a suffering that it caused a weakness that he had difficulty, again, standing up and continuing in the ministry? And the only way he could continue was by the grace of God. A friend of mine who pastors, he has nodules on his vocal cords. At some point, he probably isn't going to be able to speak. And he tells the doc, "I'm a pastor. I teach the Word of God. I speak all the time." My guess is he's going to be able to continue as long as what? He receives grace to continue. Now, I offer up for your marriages, right? For your children. I talk about it a lot. You know, bring your children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Get them on to obedience. Who here has ever done it perfectly? There is no perfect parenting. There's no perfect workers in work. There's no perfect servants in church. Right? There's not a one person who can say, "I've done everything right." But there can be a whole church filled up that humbles themselves and says, "These are the scriptures by the grace of God. I didn't do these for a long time. By the grace of God, I've been able to come to them and do them." If you thought I was a great husband when I got married to my wife, you would be sorely mistaken. I didn't even know the scriptures. And you come to these things, and you look at them, the 200 men. David established this. He says, David said, "My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us, delivered into our hands the troop that came against us. For who will you heed in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to battle, so shall be his part who stays by the supplies, and they shall share alike." Now, I want a whole church filled up with spiritually strong, armor-clad, victorious Christians. But Satan's going to try to lay you low and weaken you from time to time, and then your brothers and sisters are going to come along and try to comfort you, and you're going to find out it's not very comforting, and you're going to have to get alone with the Lord and do what? Between you and him, by the grace of God, strengthen yourself in the Lord, receive strength, wait upon him, get back to what he said to you in his word, and rise up again and stand and pray and ask for the victory and actually, like Peter, get out of the boat and walk on the water. At some point, you're going to have to believe what you're reading, that it's a command for me to receive the strengthening of grace. Well, why is it that some seem to fall short of God's grace and then others seem to be strong in the grace? What's the difference between these two people? I only have one answer for you: the grace of God. If you base this off of you and how you do this, that's why I love David's response. He says, "Those that stay and watch the stuff are equal partakers with those who went into the battle." Okay? From that day forward, it was made a statute and ordinance in Israel. Now, David came to Ziklag. He sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends. "Here is a present for you from the spoils of the enemies of the Lord." He sent to Bethel, Ramoth in the south, and those were in Jatir, Arar, Sipmoth, Rakal, Horma, Hebron. There you go. Next chapter. Now, Saul falls. Tragic. Right? Tragedy. Philistines fought against Israel. The men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, fell slain on Gilboa. How is it that David could strengthen himself in the Lord and inquire of the Lord, and the Lord give him power over the enemy? Do you hear that? Why is it that some Christians seem to have power over the enemy and others seem to always be licking their wounds that the enemy has been inflicting upon them? Right? Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons. Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through it with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword, fell on it. Armor bearer saw that Saul did that, and he was dead. He fell on his sword and died with him. So his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together the same day. Ephesians 6. I didn't get past the 6:10. Remember the foreshadow? Saul's armor ends up in the temple of the false gods. How many Christians, right, end up in the camp of the enemy or with what should be their protection only to have their armor? Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So when my pastor brought for the men's conference the tragedy of three men, and then he offered up in his last session his testimony, which is, by the grace of God, when the enemy came to destroy his life with a perfect plan to get him to sin and throw it all away, by the grace of God, he withstood the enemy. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness in this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So why are you fighting at home? I'd say Satan's got a pretty good slither in there to get husband and wife all twisted up together. My wife's never been my enemy, but I've sure said some things, right? Right? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Think of Christians fighting against Christians. Right? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, breastplate of righteousness, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Saul falls, David stands. Now, when Saul was in distress and he could not hear from God, where did he turn? To evil. Right? How many Christians, when it doesn't go their way, they're not getting what they want, they don't get a quick answer, response, they don't seek and wait for God, they do what? Turn to the world, the enmity of God, only to be captured by the things that the world offers up to help. Self-medication or prescription medication pretty much ends up a lot of times producing the same thing. Now, I'm talking in the realm of the distress, right? I'm not talking about, you broke your ankle and you need an antibiotic as a compound fracture and you got to keep the infection out. I'm talking those things that are specifically given just to work on the mental part. These are spiritual issues. That's what Ephesians 6 says. That's how I read it. Why is it that some Christians can stand upon God's word and actually be strengthened by might through the Spirit in the inner man, and that when they have all these feelings of things come upon their life, that they can, by faith, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one? By the grace of God. Not a mantra, but received strength. You hearing me? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You humble yourself in the sight of God, he gives more grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's all he can say. I used to kill Christians. Now, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I just, for me, it's nothing more, nothing less. Is that this, when someone stands up and presents, yeah, I've kept the word of God now for 15 years. I've been walking with Christ for 30 years. I get so tired of the of that repeated message from, again, I hear it from pastors and pastors' wives, and they chalk up their years. And then, how about just tell the truth? Not all my years of following Christ have been that great and strong. Right? But by the grace of God, okay, by the grace of God, I went to this point, and at this year, at this point where it could have all fell apart, by the grace of God, I forgave my wife, I forgave my husband, whatever that might be. Or I thought my life was going this way, and all of a sudden God put a stop to it, and I didn't know where to go, and by the grace of God. So let's wrap up the study here. Saul, his three sons, armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. So instead of saving lives and delivering captives, those that you love die. You hear that? That gets me. I don't want my kids to die because I didn't do the word of God. Just things that I think about. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those who were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled, that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So who says that what you do doesn't matter to others? Who says things that, just whatever I want to do? It's not true, is it? Every single one of us. Others lost their homes because Saul forsook the way. Next day when the Philistines came, they came to strip the slain. They found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head, stripped off his armor, and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim in the temple of their idols and among the people. They put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths. Now, I've been up to that place, and I've seen the foundation. I've been up in Beth Shan, had a few moments to run up the hill, get the picture by the cross looking sort of thing up there, group photo, and then get to that place. And it's like all of his might, right? Think of this. Now, the tragedy. A strong Christian man, a strong Christian woman, all of their might nailed or placed in the temple of the false god. It's the enemy claiming power over that which should have defended. Now, 1 Chronicles 10 says that they took his head and that went into the temple of Dagon. And do you remember when they captured the ark and the ark was before Dagon, and the first day Dagon's fall down, you know, bowed down. And the next day, Dagon's head is off and it rolls over the threshold. Now they have Saul's head, the king of Israel. Right? The king of Israel. They're claiming power over the head of Israel. And they nail the bodies, fasten his body to the wall of Bethshan. Inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul. All the valiant men rose, traveled all night, took the body of Saul, the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, came to Jabesh and burned them there. They took the bones, buried them on the Tamaras tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now I want to communicate this one final time very clearly. And I encourage you, if you have this book, Why Grace Changes Everything, from Pastor Chuck Smith, and if you will take it to heart that the basis is not someone's great performance. In fact, the testimony in Calvary Chapel is we are filled up with people who hadn't done so well. Filled up with a church is filled with those who used to be and fill in the blank, just like scriptures declare. You know, by the grace of God, we stand and teach the Word of God. And by the grace of God, how are you baptized with the Holy Spirit? Is it because of your great effort for clean living and making sure that you keep the vessel clean at all times and no impure thoughts, and then you can bargain with God when it comes time to afterglow? And say, God, you owe me after. I mean, there's things I didn't do this week so I could be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. It's at that place where you come and meet with God and you can be cleansed in an instant and His grace can be poured out in abundance. Grace abounds over sin. It doesn't say that grace abounds and then you don't ever sin. The Bible says that grace truly abounds over sin. So, grace of God. Receive grace. So let's pray, right? And then Zoe's going to come up and play some songs. She didn't know she was going to do that. Instrumental. And then I'm going to call upon the urgent prayer team to find the needs in the room and pray for them.